I want to talk about some things tonight in this service that I think are very, very important to us, and I trust that every mind will be attentive, every heart will be receptive, and that the word of the Lord can impact us tonight and affect us in this service in a very special way. I cannot get away too far from the lessons that we've taught the past three Sundays on the personal responsibility where our own salvation is concerned. The Apostle Paul did write in one place and say that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I don't believe that when he wrote that, that he was talking about us doing this by ourselves. Amen. I believe that I need the support of the church. I need the help of the ministry. And I need most definitely the strength that comes from the Holy Ghost. And I want to be talking about that tonight in this service. However, I do believe that if you are saved, it will be because you made up your own mind that you are going to be saved. If you live for God in this world, it will be because you made up your own mind that you are going to live for God. And that you're not going to allow others to affect you in a negative manner where living for God is concerned. No matter who it might be, husband, wife, children, mother, father, family, friends, co-workers, go down the list. Amen. No matter who it is, no matter what relationship you have with them, you've got to stand alone and make a commitment from your own heart that you are going to be what the Lord would have you to be. Amen. And you're not going to allow anybody to cause you to deviate from that consecration and that commitment that you have made. Now, we understand that we have to make that personal commitment. We do have to make our mind up within our own heart. And we do need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But I want to talk to you about the Holy Ghost some tonight. We realize that, thank God, the Holy Ghost is given to us as an enabler. I understand I can't do this by myself. I cannot live for God alone. I need the help of His Spirit in my heart and in my life. But there are three things that we're going to talk about tonight regarding the Holy Ghost that we are commanded by the Scripture to not do where the Holy Ghost is concerned. So we're going to go through about three verses here and three different places and show you in Scripture what he says. Ephesians 4 and 30 is the overhead working tonight. All right. Ephesians 4 and 30. He said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Everybody say, grieve not. Praise the Lord. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Then we go to Acts chapter 7 and verse number 51. The writer there, the speaker, talking again about the Holy Ghost, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." So everybody say, resist not. Amen. Resist not the Holy Ghost. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. He says, and let's all read this together. Amen. "Quench not the Spirit." Amen. Quench not the Spirit. So three things that we want to talk about tonight, and I'll come back to them in a few moments after I kind of give you some other areas that I'd like for you to consider before that. But we're going to talk about grieve not the Holy Ghost, and resist not the Holy Ghost, and quench not the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are things that we don't want to do where the Holy Ghost is concerned. But I'm glad tonight that we have the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that we have the privilege of the Spirit of our God living and abiding within us. I think that all of us ought to count it as a great honor to have the knowledge that you can have the Holy Ghost. Many people are being told from pulpits around our world that the Holy Ghost is not for them, that it is not something that is being given as it was given on the day of Pentecost. If that's not the message you have heard, and you have heard that the Holy Ghost is for you and for your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, your ears are blessed because they have heard, and your eyes have been blessed because you have seen and you understand that there is an experience in the Holy Ghost that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world who desires it can have. And if you're happy about that tonight, say amen. Hallelujah. And so it's a wonderful thing to have the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost in our life. There's something that we find in Scripture about the Holy Ghost, the description that is given to us about the Holy Ghost. That is a very unique thing. I have found as you study science, or as you look at our world that we live in, and we talk about nature, there are actually four elements in nature. We have earth, then we have air, we have water, and we have fire. Those are what we call the four elements of nature. One of those elements is passive, or you could call it inactive. It does not do anything of itself. There's no real action where it is concerned. It would be considered passive, and that is earth. But the other three elements, they are not passive. They are active. Earth is passive, but water, fire, and air are the elements of nature that are active. Everybody say active. Amen. The unique thing about it is that the Holy Ghost in Scripture is never described in terms or in a figure of the earth. It's never spoken of as the earth. But it is given to us in the likeness of fire. It is given to us in the likeness of air. And it's given to us in the likeness of water. Read the Scriptures, John chapter 3 and verse number 8. He said, "The wind blows where it list, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." He is saying here that you can describe the birth of the Spirit as air or as wind that blows. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes. That's the description of being born of the Spirit. And then we find reality in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 2. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of what? A rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Air moves. Air has currents to it. Air is active. Amen. It can affect things that you may not be able to see the air with your eyes or see the wind with your eyes, but you can see the effect that it has upon those things that it touches or that which it moves. Now, the Bible also describes the Holy Ghost in and as fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire." Amen. And then again, reality sets in Acts 2 and 3. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. What does fire do? Fire burns. Fire ignites. Fire consumes. And so he speaks to us about the Holy Ghost in a likeness of fire. And then we also have it in a type of water, or as a type in water. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living, what? Water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In every one of these examples, we understand that the Holy Ghost is active. Amen. The Holy Ghost was never meant to be a passive spirit living in your heart. He never intended that it never move you, or never affect you, or never change you. Amen. He never designed that the Holy Ghost would be like the earth, which would just simply be a passive element of nature. But he said the Holy Ghost is going to be like the air, going to be like the wind. It's going to blow. It's going to be like fire. It's going to burn. It's going to be like water. It's going to flow. Amen. And so he lets us understand that he never intended that his Spirit come to live in your life, come to abide and reside in your heart, and nothing ever happened to you because of him taking up residence within your life. I believe that the evidence is clear here that God means for his Spirit to be working in us at all times and under all circumstances. Can I hear a witness? Praise the Lord. Let me give you a couple of scriptural continuing evidences here in John chapter 16, and beginning with verse number 7 down through verse 13. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Albeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Somebody say, guide you. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Does this sound like a spirit that's going to be inactive? Does it sound like a spirit that is going to come to the world and basically take a passive position and never do anything where mankind is concerned? I don't think that's what he intended the Holy Ghost to be at all whatsoever. He said when he comes, he's going to reprove. He's going to do some work. He is going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But that's not all he is going to do. When the Spirit of truth has come, he is going to guide you. He is going to be a leader. He is going to be out front showing you the way you ought to take. And that's not all he's going to do. He is going to speak. And not only is he going to speak, he is going to show you things to come. Amen. I am confident tonight that you and I need to realize even more so that the Holy Ghost that he gave to us in our heart when we were born again of water and spirit was more than just to give us a good feeling. More than just to give us goosebumps, if you please. More than just to make us shout and dance. But he gave us a spirit that would be actively working on the inside of us. That it would be like fire burning in our heart. It would be like the wind that is blowing. It would be like water flowing out of our innermost being. Out of your belly shall flow something happening, something taking place because of the spirit that is abiding with inside of your heart. I tell you tonight, church, that we need to let the Holy Ghost do its work. We need to let the Spirit of God do what He wants to do in our hearts, in our lives, in our church congregation, in this neighborhood, in this city, wherever the Spirit of God wants to work. We need to be there cheering the Holy Ghost on, saying, there's some things you can do, we can't do, but we're going to put some prayer behind it, and we're going to put some worship behind it, and we're going to pray, Holy Ghost, work and be active among us, in us, through us, for us, to us, in the city. Let the Spirit of God work like never before. Let's clap my hands to the Lord tonight. Would you do that, please? Amen. He never intended that the Holy Ghost sit on the sidelines of our life and just observe what we are doing. Just watch and take notes of our actions, our activities, our spirit, our attitudes. He never intended that the Spirit of God just be sitting on the sideline taking notes. In fact, when you read Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, he said, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now, when you read Romans chapter 8, that chapter is a powerful chapter where the operation of the Spirit in our life is concerned. I'm not going to go back and revisit it, but a couple of Sundays ago, we were talking about there being no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he talked about the fact that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. One of the first things that the Spirit of God did for you in your life is to break the bondages, break the yokes that was hindering you from becoming what God designed for you to be, and open the door, giving you an opportunity and the privilege to grow in grace, to grow in the Spirit, to become the kind of saint, to become the kind of individual that the Lord wants you to be. He broke that yoke. You couldn't do it by yourself. Amen. The law of sin and death bound you. It kept you under its control. But when the Holy Ghost came, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. It set me free and gave me an open door. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now, when you go down through chapter 8, there is verse after verse that deals with the Holy Ghost and what it means to us and what it's doing in our life. And then when you get to verse 26, he said the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you find yourself struggling with your own infirmities, your own inability or your lack in being able to really pray as you really ought to pray, the Holy Ghost doesn't sit on the sideline finding fault with you. The Holy Ghost doesn't sit over here condemning you because as a mere human, you're struggling with trying to find the words to say, or you're struggling with trying to pray the way you really ought to pray. Amen. You're struggling with what to say. He said, when that happens, he said, the Spirit steps in and begins to help us in our infirmities. And when we don't know how to pray, he starts praying through us. He starts interceding for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I'm telling you, church, sometimes you don't even know how to pray for some things. I don't mind telling you that even yesterday, as I was walking the floors of this sanctuary praying, there was an area that I honestly did not even know how to pray. I didn't even know what to ask God for. I didn't. And all I can say is, Lord, I just hope that somehow the Spirit that is within me, who knows the will of God, who knows the mind of God, will pray for me in this situation and will help make the difference. I don't know how you feel tonight about this, but I'm thanking God that I'm not having to do this by myself. I'm thanking God that I don't even have to pray by myself. My God, hallelujah. I don't even have to pray alone. I don't have to pray by myself. The Holy Ghost is there to help me when I don't know what to say. Amen. When I don't even know, he said, when you don't know how to pray as you ought. In other words, you don't even know the right way to pray. You don't even know the right words to say. You don't even know how to approach God with that particular need. He said, that's when the Holy Ghost steps in and said, here, let me be a helper. Let me help him pray. Let me help him touch God. Let me help. I'll intercede for him. You've got something living inside of you, friend, that God does. Designed to be active. He designed to work and labor inside of you, helping you as you endeavor to live for God. We're not living it by ourselves. Don't even try because you can't. Praise the Lord. We need all the help we can get. I need the help of the Word. I need the help of the church. Amen. I hope you're praying for me. I hope you're calling my name in prayer. Well, praise the Lord. You say, I didn't know we needed to pray. Oh, yes, please. I beg you, pray for me. I need your help. I need your strength. I need what you can lend to my life. I need the support and the help that you can provide this poor preacher. Amen. I need the help of God. I need the Lord to make the difference.
Amen.
Amen. And so, I need the help of the church. I need the help of the Word. I need the help of God Himself. I need the help of the Spirit every day. We don't even need to try to live a Monday without Him. We don't need to try to live a Sunday without Him. We need to recognize that He has put something in us, and I'm going to use these terms tonight, and please, I hope they don't get boring to your ears, but He has not put something in us to merely sit on a throne and be passive where our life is concerned. The Holy Ghost wants to affect every decision you make. He wants to affect every day that you live. The Holy Ghost wants to impact every move that you make. He wants to impact your relationships with people.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That active Spirit on the inside of you. It's wanting to do something because it wasn't put there to do nothing. The Holy Ghost came to work. The Holy Ghost came to be active. Somebody shout amen. We have to understand that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. Amen. And that as God in spirit, as God in spirit, there is no effort and there is no negligence on your part that can lessen the power of the glory of God. In other words, you can be negligent in your prayer, in your church attendance, in your personal consecration, all of those things. That is not going to affect the power of God. That is not going to diminish the glory of God. You cannot take away from God because of human negligence. God is the same. You cannot lessen His glory. You cannot lessen His power. However, you can lessen the influence that He has upon your life. You're not going to change Him. You're not going to change His glory. You're not going to change His power. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ the same. There is no variableness in Him. There's no shadow of turning. The Lord has not lost 1 ounce of His power. Amen. But that Spirit that's abiding within you, the influence of that Spirit can be lessened. He can be disemployed. You can put Him out of work because of a lack of prayer or a lack of worship. Somebody say amen. When the Holy Ghost comes to live inside of you, the degree and the measure to which He is able to affect you and keep you changed and continue to change you is based on your response to His Spirit. It's based on what you allow the Lord to do in your life. Can I hear a witness? Doesn't matter what it is. Your relationships with people. Your love for one another. Your family. Your friends. Your attitude on the job. I can go down a list of things that we could talk about where life is concerned that the Holy Ghost would like to have an effect on that. A right effect. A good effect. But it can only affect what we let it affect.
That's right.
We can minimize His influence by being negligent where our prayer life is concerned. Being negligent in worship. Being negligent in our consecration, our devotion to God. It can affect His work in our life. Now the Holy Ghost, I'm trying to show you first of all that the Holy Ghost is meant to be active. He is meant to change us. I'm telling you from the very first night that you get the Holy Ghost, it ought to change you right then.
Amen.
I have watched people that came to the altar that their faces were drawn by sin. They look sometime 20 years older than their actual physical age. But I have watched the Holy Ghost in one night wipe 10 years off of people's life. I have watched Him change the whole facial appearance. Amen. And that's what the Bible teaches us ought to happen. It said He beautified the meek with repentance. Amen. When we start repenting and we start making a consecration to God, the Holy Ghost becomes active and starts changing our whole life. There is a facial expression. I've said this here recently, even about some that's got the Holy Ghost recently in this church, that there was a glow about their face. There was an aura about their appearance. It changed. And I want to tell you, friend, when somebody gets the Holy Ghost, the true gift of the Holy Ghost, it will so affect them that nobody's got to tell you it happened. All you got to do is look at them.
Amen.
That's the truth. Somebody
say
amen. In fact, I said that about Lori the other day. Hallelujah. I said that about Lori when I came back from Ethiopia, and they said that she almost got the Holy Ghost the Sunday night before that, and this is before she told me that night that she had gotten the Holy Ghost, and I saw her in service that Sunday night. And when I looked at her, I said, if she didn't get the Holy Ghost, she got something so close to it that it rubbed off on her, because it sure looks like she's got the Holy Ghost. It was the glow. It was the look on the face, the change in the facial expression. And I don't want to embarrass her tonight in the service. And if I have, I apologize. Amen. Don't think I did. But just to see that. And I look back here at Brother Robert. He's a new convert. Look at that smile on that face. He can't help it. Amen. He's got that glow. He's got that Holy Ghost glow. And I want to tell you, he's not the only one that's got it. I look all over this congregation and I see faces glowing with the touch of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will do the work that it's designed to do when we surrender to it. When we allow it to be active in our life, it will perform incredible works for us. Amen. So just like the heart is to the body and the eyes are to your head, what the mainspring in a watch is to the watch, and what the rudder is to the ship, All of these things and more, the Holy Ghost is to us in trying to get us to heaven. Amen. The design of the Spirit of God is to be that, the Bible calls it the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. It calls itself the down payment of what we're going to get when we get on the other side. And it's been placed in us as a rudder to give us direction for life. It's been put in us like our heart that beats. Amen. You know and I know that if your heart ever becomes inactive, and I was talking to Brother Garrett the other day, and he said, you know, Brother Bass, he said, I just found out the other day that 40% of all heart attack victims, their first symptom of a heart attack is death. I said, boy, don't want to be in that 40%. Amen. 40% of all heart attack victims, he said, he found out by some medical, because he's had a lot of problems with his heart. And he's just now, as a matter of fact, he's been out of his pulpit for about 6 months because of a heart attack. And just now, I think the past couple of weeks, as he started back preaching in his own pulpit. And so I've been talking with him along the way, and he said, that's what I learned. He said, 40% of all heart attack victims, the first symptom is death. Well, in other words, it's over. You don't have time to look back. You don't have time to say, hey, what happened? It's over with. It's done. Well, if you take the Holy Ghost out of your life, you're done. It's that active element within you that keeps the spirit, keeps the right things pulsating inside. Just like the heart is to your body and the eyes are to your head, that's what the Holy Ghost is to you and your soul. Amen. Keeping you active in the spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. I want the Holy Ghost to be active. I don't want the Holy Ghost to be passive. I want it to be active. As a matter of fact, it's not going to be passive. That's not its characteristic. Its characteristic is not passiveness, it's activity. You can't characterize the Holy Ghost. Well, my Holy Ghost don't do that to me. My Holy Ghost don't make me act that way. Well, now if that's bad, then I guess you're right. But if it's, so I'm going to tell you something. We look around here sometime and folks starting to shout and dance. And I know to a carnal world out there, that looks crazy. But they've never felt the fire of the Holy Ghost burning on the inside of their life. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. If all I ever did was just get up in church and just kind of dance around and joke and jive and never felt anything, then I might stand back and I might judge other people as saying, well, they're just all emotions. But I want to tell you something, friend. I have experienced times where that the power of God came so strong and so powerful, I could not control it. It was not by my choice. It just took a hold of me. In fact, I remember the first time I really ever experienced that. I was 12 years old, and I remember that I was over on this side of the building, and when I came to myself, I was on the other side of the building. I am telling you, it is real. I don't care what anybody says, and it doesn't matter how many folks want to stand back and say that I don't think all of that is necessary. I am telling you, the Holy Ghost wants to be active, even in your physical body. And sometimes it just wants to shake you to let you know I'm in control. Do I hear a witness? Amen. And I'm telling you, if all I ever felt was just or experienced was just little, dancing around, joking and jiving and grooving with the music or whatever, then that'd be one thing. But when I know the power of God, when I have felt it time and again, so recently, I said recently, recent services, The power of God comes so great that you don't control that. The fire burning on the inside. The wind blowing. Amen. Like water flowing. Like somebody just uncapped the well and all of a sudden it's just bursting forth and you can't help it. I'm telling you, every now and then, as a matter of fact, I have to tell you, I look back on the service that Brother Green, the last revival service that we had with him, with the last service he was in with us in revival. Amen. When that man was preaching, I'm telling you, the fire of God was burning so hot that I couldn't help it. They were just, I wanted to shout, hallelujah, because something gets on the inside and it's not just mere emotions.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost that is there working and it's active and it says, come on, you can't be quiet. You've got to shout aloud. You've got to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You've got to give Him some praise. Sometimes it's going to be like a well flowing up. Sometimes it's going to be like a river gushing forth. Sometimes it's going to be like wind blowing. Sometimes it's going to be like fire burning. But he described the Holy Ghost in all of these terms so that we would understand that it's going to be active. Praise the Lord. In fact, you may be driving down the road as peaceable as you can be. And nothing happening. And the Holy Ghost may be doing more for you while you're driving down the road than what you think it's doing. Now hear a witness. The angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear them. Fear Him. Huh? Is that right? Praise the Lord. And every now and then it just might be that that Holy Ghost living inside of you can look further down the road than what you can see. And dispatches an angel. Go take care of that situation so this will be all right when they get there. Well, come on, church. You say you're thinking in strange terms. No, I'm just telling you, church, that the Holy Ghost is active. It is not passive. It does not, it refuses to be in a state of inactiveness in your life. It's going to be doing something. It's either going to be helping you move higher and drawing you closer, or it's going to be finding another place to work because the Holy Ghost is not lazy. The Holy Ghost is not happy doing nothing. Oh, glory to God. Now, let's look at some scriptures here real quick because I've got to try to get to these 3 points here that I wanted to mention to you. Ephesians 4:22. 4:22 of Ephesians, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed. How? In the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, now I want you to notice the process here, the progress of these statements that are being made. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. All of these things that he said that we ought not to do, whether it be lying to one another, being angry and sinning and letting the sun go down our wrath and putting off the former conversation, the old man, the deceitful lust, and then put away all bitterness and all wrath and anger and clamor. In the middle of all of that, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I believe what he's trying to tell us is all of these things, if we engage in that, we're going to grieve the Holy Ghost. What does the word grieve there mean? It means to distress it. To put the Holy Ghost in distress. To grieve the Spirit of God. You know, I believe it's important that we, in everything that we do, we need to ask ourselves the question, how will this affect the Holy Ghost? Amen. How will this affect the Spirit that lives inside of me? Will it grieve it? Will it distress the Holy Ghost that's living in my heart? The Holy Ghost is active. The Holy Ghost wants to make a difference. The Holy Ghost wants to help us. But then when we intentionally or we purposefully begin to engage in things that are displeasing to God, it does something to the Holy Ghost that's living inside of us. It grieves the Spirit. Amen. And what you are feeling when you are engaging and when you're talking things you shouldn't be talking or doing things you shouldn't be doing or listening at things you shouldn't be listening to or seeing things you shouldn't be seeing, and there's something going on the inside like condemnation or guilt or shame, you know what that is, the offshoot of? It's the Holy Ghost being grieved inside of you. Because the Holy Ghost is so active in your life, then it exudes that grievance, that distressful feeling into your spirit, and you're feeling the effects of what the Holy Ghost is feeling. The conviction, the guilt, the shame, that you experience as a result of a wrong move, of a sin, of a transgression, that is coming out of what the Holy Ghost is feeling. You're feeling what the Holy Ghost feels. Amen. There's a distressful feeling. Come on, you can't tell me that if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can't tell me that you can sin and your heart not be affected. Huh? Amen. You see, the problem with Solomon is that Solomon sinned and his mind excused him. But David sinned and his heart smote him. We better always thank God if our heart is smitten by the Holy Ghost. If we can feel the smiting, we better thank God for the smiting, because that's what He intended for it to do. He intended that we be smitten so that we are not able to go out and sin without any kind of feelings of repercussion or any kind of... In other words, we sin and we can enjoy it. Let me tell you something. You got the Holy Ghost, you can't sin and enjoy it. Do I hear a witness? Is that right? Huh? Amen. You can't sin and enjoy it. You can't do wrong and enjoy it. You know why? The Holy Ghost is not going to let you enjoy it. The Holy Ghost is not going to let you have a good time. Oh, you might be having a good time while you're doing it, but whenever you get off by yourself and the lights are out, and you're all alone, Holy Ghost will start talking to you. And Holy Ghost is going to be grieved. It's going to be sad. What'd you do that for? The reason why you're grieving, why you're crying, is because that's what the Holy Ghost is doing. You're affected by that. I'm not being crazy tonight. I'm telling you that that's what He put His Spirit inside of you for. Young people, don't ever think that, if I go on out there in the world and sin and then just forget the church and I'll get away from all of this. Oh, no. Amen. You'll never get away because you're a child of God. And you might reach a point where the Holy Ghost has departed your life, but I want to tell you now, friend, you'll never lose the impact and the influence that the Spirit has upon your life. Somebody say, grieve not. Grieve not. We grieve the Holy Ghost when we transgress. When we sin, when we don't do what we ought to do, there's a grievance. When we don't speak to others as we ought to, when we don't treat others as we ought to. When we don't treat others as we would like for them to treat us, then we grieve the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And we feel that. Has anybody ever gone home at night when the lights were all out and you're laying there and you can't hardly sleep? Because there's something active going on up here. Huh? You can't sleep? Here's the head shaking. Here's somebody saying, yeah, that's right. Because something's going on. There's an active spirit that's working. Huh? Any of y'all ever been afraid to go to sleep? If the Lord come, you wouldn't make it? Huh? I sit down, would y'all scratch my back? Hallelujah. Brother Paul, have you ever felt that? Have you ever experienced that? I have. I don't mind admitting it. More times than I want to confess. Amen. But thank God for the Holy Ghost that was there. Because you see, if he hadn't have been there active, I might have just went right on doing things that would have damned my soul for eternity. Totally destroyed my relationship with God. But the Holy Ghost was there saying, I'm not letting you go. If you go, then you're gonna snatch yourself out of my hand. You're gonna walk out. You're gonna depart. You're not going without a fight. I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna war against this. The flesh lust against the spirit, and the spirit lust against the flesh. There's gonna be a battle going on. Thank God there's a battle going on. I'm glad the Holy Ghost rises up and says, flesh, you're not gonna get control. I'm going to do my best to let my presence be known and bring this individual back in line. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Somebody say, grieve not the Holy Ghost. The best thing to do to begin with is don't even grieve the Holy Ghost. But for heaven's sakes, whatever you do, if you grieve the Holy Ghost, don't take the next step and resist the Holy Ghost. Come on now.
Don't take the next step. That's why there are... What happened? Did we lose it? What did I lose? Hallelujah to him. Praise the Lord. I wonder what those batteries were doing on the floor up there. Break time. What's the nervous for, son? All them girls up there watching me. You don't worry about the girls. Don't tell me when I was your age I was worried about them. Oh boy. Poor guy, embarrassed the daylights out of me. How'd I turn this thing back on? Push the red button once. I didn't know how to operate this thing. They buy stuff
and honey, how to operate it. Hallelujah. So, where was I? Resist. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. You might grieve it, but don't take the next step and resist it. When that Holy Ghost starts working inside of you, the Spirit of God begins to convict you and stir you up, you need to say, yes, Lord. You're doing your job. You're doing the work. So here I am. You see, the last thing you want to do is miss church if you sin or you do wrong. That's the last thing you want to do is, well, I don't want to go to church. I get everything straightened out. Here's the place to get it straightened out. Here's the place to come running and saying, Holy Ghost, I heard your voice. Holy Ghost, I heard your words. You stirred me up. I'm on the way back. Just hang around. I'll be there. Don't resist the Spirit. Because the more you resist the Spirit, the quieter His voice becomes. The less intense the working of the Spirit becomes. The less effort He puts forth to try to draw you back. You keep resisting. You keep putting your hand up. You keep saying, no, wait a little longer. Please, Jesus. Huh? It won't be long that the Holy Ghost will leave you to your sin. Amen. He's done that. You read your Bible. In Noah's time, he finally left them to their sin. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm not always going to strive. I'm not always going to be on the playing field out there trying to help you be a winner. If you're going to resist me, then eventually I'll leave the field and leave you to your own devices. And that's what he did. He did that in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. Read the entire chapter, chapter 9 of Nehemiah. And the Lord describes how that he left Israel to their own sin. He got tired of striving with them. Read the book of Revelation about that woman Jezebel. He said, I gave Jezebel a window of repentance, but because she would not, he said, I cast her in the bed of her fornications. What he's saying is, I turned her over to her sin. The last thing you want God to do to you is to leave you to yourself. Is that right? The last thing you want is for the Holy Ghost to back off and say, all right, I'll just leave you to yourself. You know, he don't even have to leave you to the devil. Just leave you to yourself and you'll destroy your own self. We don't have to have the devil destroy us. We just leave, God just leaves us to our own devices and then we destroy ourselves. I'm trying to bring two things together here tonight. I'm trying to help us understand that he designed that the Holy Ghost be an active spirit working inside of us, and it's going to be active. Thank God for the blessings it gives to us. Thank God for the enjoyment, the joy, the power of the Holy Ghost that we feel, the glory of God, the goosebumps and all that. That is a part of the work of the Spirit in our life. Speaking with tongues as the Spirit gives in us, that's part of the work of the Holy Ghost. But don't forget, that's not all there is to it. And we can grieve it, and then when it rises up to let you know that it's grieved, you can resist it. And if you keep resisting the Holy Ghost and pushing it back and saying, don't bother me now, it won't be long that that voice will become so silent that you'll walk right on out and you'll do anything you want to do. Amen. And the last thing, and I'm going to close here in just a few moments, but the last thing he said was that we're to quench. Somebody say quench. Quench not the spirit. This word does not mean to resist it. It doesn't mean to dampen it. It doesn't mean to partially smother it. It means to put it out completely as a spark when it falls into the water. It means to completely remove its influence in your life. That's what the word quench means. Quench not the spirit. The last thing you want to do, friend, is quench the spirit. You don't want to put it out. You don't want to smother the effects of the Holy Ghost in your life. You know, when fire can be quenched, fire can be extinguished. Fire is extinguished by pouring water on it, by smothering it, by neglect. You can extinguish fire for lack of fuel. You can extinguish fire for a lack of air. And all these things could be typed as spiritual things that we can allow to happen. I think that the most direct way of quenching the Spirit of God in our life is through sin and through resistance of the influence of the Spirit upon us. The Spirit of God can act like a friend who, having been wantonly slighted, withdraws in grief and displeasure. I don't want the Holy Ghost to quit working on me. The longest day I live, I'm working on something that I feel a burden for the ministers' conference next week, and please be praying for me. I beg of you. I've got to preach the first night, and I'm telling you now, I am scared silly. My wife is praying for me because she knows that if she can get me through Tuesday night, everything will be all right. I'm not kidding you. I promise you when I tell you that preaching at a meeting like that is not a party. You're preaching to all preachers. It's one thing when you're preaching to Indians and you're the chief. It's something else when you're preaching to all the chiefs. When you feel like a lion preaching to a bunch of Daniels. Now that's a big difference. Feel like a lion in a den of Daniels. So pray for me. But I've been working on something. for the meeting that I felt a burden for. And if there's anything that I don't ever want to lose in my relationship with God and in my ministries, I don't ever want to lose the realization that I've got to have the Holy Ghost active in me. It can't be passive. It can't be silent. It's got to be working. If I'm wrong, I want the Holy Ghost to tell me I'm wrong. And if the Holy Ghost can't tell me if I'm not listening, amen, then let a preacher tell me. Let somebody, amen, let me know you're wrong. I want to be saved. And I know if that I'm not allowing the Spirit of God to affect my life, it's not enough that I get up and preach to you on how to live and what to do and how to walk with God. It's got to be something that I'm experiencing to be able to impart it to you so that it has the right effect upon your life. I want the Holy Ghost working in my own spirit. I want it active. Somebody say active. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. What he's saying is, don't let that spirit that's inside, that gift inside of you, don't let it become dormant. Don't let it become silenced. He said, stir it up. Keep it alive. Amen. I don't want to neglect it. I want to stir it up. I don't want the Spirit of God to be quenched because I'm not feeding it the fuel it needs. You know that the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost was not ignited by you in your heart. But you can put it out. The Holy Ghost was not ignited by you. You didn't start the fire, but you can extinguish it. You think about it. It was He who started the fire. The Holy Ghost coming, beginning the fire. Let me make this one point that I'm going to close here tonight concerning the conviction of the Spirit. I'm told that if you take some phosphorus and put it on a piece of wood and you ignite that phosphorus, that it will burn with a bright blaze. But that the phosphorus actually drops from it a white ash that when it coats the wood and the fire goes out, it's almost totally impossible to rekindle that wood. And I thought about the conviction, flaming conviction that burns in our heart. Sometimes it can leave a coating when that conviction is finally burned out and we've not responded to it. It can leave a coating on our heart that it can be mighty hard to rekindle it, restart it. I've watched people that walked out with conviction burning in their spirit, burning in their heart. And then see them later, and they were harder than ever before. You couldn't reach them. You couldn't touch them. You couldn't affect them. It's a dangerous thing, friend, to quench the fire of conviction in your life. When you quench it, and you put it out, it can leave a coating upon your heart that it can be mighty difficult to rekindle that fire again. Holy Ghost, work on us. Don't ever stop being active. Be active in this church. I want the Holy Ghost to be active. I want the Holy Ghost to be active. Let me tell you something. I'm going to get real worried around here when I cease to see people in the altar weeping. Even that have been in church for a long time. I'm going to get worried about whether the Holy Ghost is as active as it ought to be. Praise the Lord. When the power of God is flowing, the Spirit of God is working, and people are coming to the altar praying and lifting their hands and weeping, thank God for that. I don't find fault with that because I know the Holy Ghost is doing His job. Let's stand. If the Spirit of God is working in our life, then it will accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Somebody say, grieve not. Somebody say resist not. Somebody say
quench not.
There's actually four steps to being totally lost. You can grieve the Holy Ghost, and after grieving it, when it comes to you to draw you back, you can resist it. And if you resist it long enough, then you will quench that spirit. You will put it out. The next step, then, is blasphemy. You go from grieving to resisting to quenching. And once you quench it, you don't have any problem looking back and say there wasn't anything to it anyway. That becomes blasphemy. It's a four-step process to death. And you cannot, first of all, you're not ever going to resist the Holy Ghost if you haven't grieved the Holy Ghost first. You've got to do one before you do the other. You first have to grieve before you can start resisting. And then you've got to resist before you can quench. So it's a process you go. It's regression downhill. You know what? Can I tell everybody in the house, you don't have anything to worry about as long as you stir up that gift that's inside of you. If every time, every week that passes, every day that passes, you do your best to get a good touch of the Holy Ghost. Stay fresh in the Holy Ghost. Stay fresh in the power of God. You won't have to worry about resisting and quenching and blasphemy. You don't have to worry about that. I don't go around worrying about those things, but I do think it's important that we talk about it. It's important that we help people understand the process by which you can be lost once you come into the kingdom of God. It's important we deal with that, because sometimes people don't understand what's happening to them. Sometimes they think, well, I'm just frustrated because of everything going on around me. Sometimes it's not frustration. Sometimes it's the Holy Ghost that's there stirring you up, trying to help you, change you. Amen. So only one prayer I want to pray. I'm not going to go around praying, Lord, I don't want to grieve you. Lord, I don't want to resist you. Lord, I don't want to quench the Spirit. I'm not going around praying what I don't want to do. I'm going to pray what I want Him to do. Holy Ghost, be active. Because as long as He's active inside of my life, those are not things I've got to worry about. Neither do you have to worry about them. But I do have to say, be warned that if that's the route you're taking, that's the things that you will do. That's the steps that you will take. And I've watched it happen. I've watched people grieve the Spirit. And then I've watched them resist the Spirit. Then I've watched them quench the Spirit. Put the fire out completely and forever be lost. Holy Ghost, be active. Let's lift our hands. Let's pray for the Holy Ghost to...